Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. We spend so much time focusing on heart health, mental health, and other specialty areas of health, but we don't pay enough attention to brain health. And that's why I launched this Brain Matters series in 2024. Today, we get to talk with Matt Picard. He's a private equity investor at Bolt Ventures, a family office focused on acquiring global sports franchises, operating businesses in the sports and entertainment ecosystems. But prior to joining Bolt, Matt worked in investment banking at Jefferies. He specialized in all kinds of transactions across consumer, gaming, and entertainment sectors. So good morning and welcome, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. You have had a lifelong interest in sports and athleticism, but you've also had a long and painful journey with concussive disorder. Before we talk about your brain health journey, just tell me a little bit about your career and how you wound up in the private equity world.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I've always had an interest in sports and I'm fortunate now to be able to sort of marriage that personal interest with my career. But, I think I always had a interest in problem solving and, numbers and math and things like that. And so was naturally sort of drawn to the finance world, had a variety of internships and, was able to sort of kind of move through those opportunities and better understand where I best fit within that. And I think as I've gotten further along, I've developed a really strong interest for working with founders and families and, ultimately trying to help them grow their businesses.
Interesting. Very interesting. So brain health, you have a story. Let's talk about your journey with brain health. Where did it start?
Yeah, so I think it started with my first diagnosed concussion, which probably came around the age of 12. And at that stage, it was much like what most people experience with a sports-related, traumatic brain injury, where I hit my head and, went through a basic protocol of diagnosing me with a concussion. And then the treatment plan was relatively rudimentary: rest for a week, stay in the dark, and you'll get better. And it did. But that was, like I said, when I was, 12 years old. And then as I went into high school, that started to change. And so, the more I played, and I was never one of the biggest guys out there. So I took my hits and, you got diagnosed by an athletic trainer most of the time. And again, there was very little thought about what the long-term implications were or thinking about the differences between the diagnosis of brain injuries. It was a relatively kind of boilerplate approach. And then fast forward to 2014, sort of my junior and senior year of high school, I had two really bad concussions where I wasn't getting better. And, it was weeks turned into months. There was a time where it was really difficult to not only deal with those symptoms, which were sensitivity to light, sound, trouble tracking, nausea, just really tough things that sort of affected me in every form and facet of my life. That was the first time where I came up to really digging deeper around what was going on with my brain, because I felt like there was not all that much known about concussion. People had a very simple approach to, like I said, the 80% of cases that heal on their own within a week or two. But these more prolonged instances of concussion where, people had months and months of injury, it was sort of a very unique case and was not something that I was seeing amongst the people that I played against or my peers, or even for the people that were treating me at the time.
So you said something that I want to go back to. You were diagnosed by an athletic trainer, not a physician. Was that the norm then?
I think the athletic trainer was always sort of the first person to contact on the field. And then, they would typically have you go home with your parents. I also saw that handled differently with some of my injuries. Early on, you would be sent to the ER and maybe do a CAT scan. But that sort of evolved, and we realized that, maybe that even just doing that, the CAT scan itself wasn't necessary or even going to show whether it was conclusively a concussion or not, but would end up getting referred to a primary care within that week. And again, the things that they would be telling me would be, get rest, drink water, and stay in the dark. At that time, it was very much the kind of rest and isolate approach, which we've also seen, evolve. But like I said, once I got to sort of concussions 4, 5, 6, I felt like, the people across from me were giving me really basic advice and couldn't answer a lot of the kind of tougher questions that I had about what was going on.
That's very interesting. One, I didn't realize you were 12 when this happened. When I read your bio, I thought you were like a teenager. I didn't think it was 12. And I really never connected really young athletes with serious injury. So you were talking about the fact that there has been progress. So you think there's a greater awareness of the danger of head trauma or other physical trauma among really young athletes? Is that something that you would say, that there is
Yeah,
greater awareness?
I think that the culture of sports is interesting, where people are rewarded for toughness, for grit, and for perseverance despite a challenging circumstance. And I'm certainly a believer of all of those characteristics and qualities. But when it came to concussion early on, I even saw with the people treating me, it was, how do we get you back out there? And I was, a high school athlete with no aspirations of playing professionally, and the approach was, okay, a couple of weeks and we'll get you back for that big game. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is my brain, I don't need to rush back out there. I gotta really think about what's right here. And so I think that approach of pushing through and getting our guys back out there has shifted, where there is a real understanding that this is a very serious injury and that it needs to be treated on a case-by-case basis, and that every concussion and head injury looks very different.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because before you and I started, Dan here in the studio, we were just talking about the fact that an athlete, specifically we were talking about football, but that they can get a concussion, there's a concussion protocol, but then 2 games later you see them back out there getting their head knocked out again. So it's like, how defeating is that? So that's just
Yeah,
a
I think that was one of the biggest realizations for me. And I think looking at the doctors around the sports are really getting their hands on, which is that someone can continue to perform, pass certain diagnostics, and ultimately get back out there, but they may not be fully healed. So you've seen that sort of compounding effect of some of the best athletes in the world, specifically in the NFL, for example, who have gotten back out there and then is quickly, back on the sidelines because they've gotten a re-triggered an injury that isn't already healed.
Going back to what we were talking about with the young athletes and raising awareness to their trauma, what kind of stuff is underway so that parents, coaches, anybody who's got an interest in kids' sports, high school sports, what kind of stuff is happening to raise awareness to the potential? In fact, I would hazard to say the probability of head trauma.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two points there. One is the kind of the probability of head trauma happening, and how do we actually change the game to decrease the number of head injuries. And then two is how do we be cognizant of what's going on with our athletes and be proactive in diagnosing them? And I think I saw even in the time that I was sort of going through the end of high school and college, trying to change practice style, play style to eliminate head injuries was underway. So I think specifically in football, doing less contact practices or wearing additional head protection on top of helmets, you'll see now. So I think the coaches are much more aware of it. The parents are educated on it. You know, there's, I think it all starts with people seeing the NFL and these professional leagues and how they're paying more attention to it now than they were, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, et cetera. So there is more an awareness there. And then I think we've gotten better at the treatment side of things. We're certainly not where we need to be, but coaches, players, parents, like I said, are more aware that this happens. It happens frequently and that it's serious. And so I think that seeing someone have a serious hit, their coaches are more likely to pull them off the field. Again, this is case by case, city by city. It looks a little bit different depending where you are, but I think we're talking about it more, you know, just in the world of sports, which is helpful sort of in all domains.
I'm real curious about the advice that you would give. You know, you say we're talking about it, so you've had firsthand experience. What advice do you have for parents, for coaches, for athletic directors, for anybody who is involved in this world, particularly with young athletes?
Yeah, I get this question a lot because people would ask me, you know, would you have chosen not to play sports or would you not put your kids in the sports that you played? And I think the answer is no. I'm a huge believer in sports, specifically youth sports. I think it teaches you a lot of valuable lessons, helps you develop as a person, et cetera. But what I think is really important is, and it's not a matter of fear mongering, but really trying to explain to kids that you have a responsibility to take care of yourself and really communicate about the experience that you're having. I found it really hard, specifically with concussion, because it was an injury that was invisible. So having my peers, friends, family understand what I was going through was really challenging, you know, because there wasn't a cast and there wasn't a bruise that they could see that, you know, accompanies a number of other sports injuries. And so being really proactive and realizing as an athlete that, you know, your life after sports is going to be hopefully a lot longer than your life inside sports. And that, you know, these injuries are serious and they can rob you from really basic things that you enjoy doing in your life. So, you know, not being able to go to school or not being able to, you know, spend time with friends or watch TV, et cetera, losing those things can be extremely impactful. So I think just being aware of sort of what the stakes are is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people are in denial?
Yes, I don't know if denial is the right word. I think that people have a tough time accepting the situation for what it is. I think that people, sort of in all levels, again, struggle with this injury not being so concrete. You can't just put a simple x-ray and say the bone is broken, here's the fracture. And every case is different. And so I think that people struggle with things that they can't see or hold. And I think if you think about the world of professional sports, it's a really, really big business. And there's a vested interest in having your stars be on the field and kind of regardless of circumstance. You see it all the time where someone has an injury and, you know, they get the injection at halftime and they're back out there. And, you know, I'm not qualified to speak on that sort of approach from a medical perspective. But what I would say is that I think people want to believe that they don't want to really see the facts and see how bad some of these things can be with our brains. And the conclusion that I ultimately rest on is that there is always going to be some of these head injuries in professional sports. We should continue to play them. Let's just be really open and honest and go in eyes wide open about how do we treat the best athletes in the world? Or really even at any level, how do we actually treat people? Because that's what's going to keep them on the field.
I know that you've become an advocate, a serious advocate for brain health. I'd like to have a conversation with you in the future about that, about your advocacy. You open to that?
Absolutely.
So thanks for spending time with me this morning, and we will have a future conversation about your work as an advocate for brain health. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.